who taped CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday evening, December the 30th, 1977. Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, Hot Springs, Arkansas. In time, Christmas week, camp meeting, Brother Win Worley, the speaker of the evening.
That was sending smoke signals, and about that time they exploded the first atomic bomb. And he looked over there and he said, "My, I wish I'd said that." But it's been a real blessing to work side by side with brothers who love the Lord with all their heart, who are flowing with the Spirit, who are not afraid to tackle the host of hell, Brad the devil's nose when he sticks it in God's business, and to tell people, God's people, like it is. That's a pretty rare commodity now. I don't know whether you're aware of that or not. It doesn't go on everywhere. And I thank the Lord. If you're ever in Chicago, go down on the tip of South Chicago, right next to Hammond, Indiana, and there's a tiny little church down the corner down there. Be sure and contact us. We're dickering for a new church building that you might help us pray. It's $250,000 building. It'll be seat 350 or 400. We figure we can deliver at least 4 to 5 times as many people if we have that building. And it'll also have a lot of Sunday school rooms, and since we don't have any Sunday schools, we plan to put bunk beds in there and sleep the people that come in. Right now we don't have a place for them to sleep, but when we looked at the building, my men looked at me and said, "Are we going to run a Sunday school campaign, preacher?" And they grinned. I said, "Looks to me like this is a dormitory." That's what I thought, too. So, anyway, we're hoping to eventually have a place where we can have deliverance seminars for the whole Chicago area and anybody else that's close enough to come in. And that's part of the vision we have, if they can ever keep me home long enough to spearhead it. But you pray. We've got 15 young preachers up there or more. I think we may have more now. I don't remember. They do all the preaching while I'm gone. They're quite capable. None of them are carbon copies of Win Worley, although I have to admit I left my mark on them. And they believe this book from kiver to kiver. And they believe the only kind of church to have is a deliverance church. They believe if it's full gospel, it's got to have all of it.
Amen.
And so if you're in need of somebody to come and help you sometime, we got some eager ones. I'll tell you, they'd take their vacation in a minute to come and fight demons with you. I told you about the young man asked me about going on his honeymoon. He and his wife-to-be going to get married in April. And he said, "Glory and I have talked about it, Pastor Brother Worley." He said, "Are you going to have any meetings anywhere in April?" And I said, "Well, I don't know, Dennis." I said, "There's a lot of them being talked about, but no dates have been set." He said, "Well, Gloria and I were praying and talking about the other day, and we just thought it'd be wonderful if we could come and have our honeymoon where you're having a meeting, then we could fight demons every night. Wouldn't that be great?" I said, "Dennis, that's not usually what you go on a honeymoon for." And he said, "Well, I know, but said we could work it in all right. Everything would work out just fine." They're kind of peculiar. I have taught them moderation. I have. I said, "Be moderate in all things," but they're just going just berserk. You know, 25 of them came down here this summer so they could fight demons here at the camp. And I had one big old boy that just liked to cry when I left. When I left, he said, "I want to go so bad I could taste it." Said, "Just think, all those demons, and I won't get a chance to fight them." I said, "Well, maybe the Lord will send in a few here." Oh, praise the Lord for people who love the Lord and have caught a vision of a world bound and helpless without a message. Somebody's got to care. Because people are bound. And the body of Christ is chained with terrible chains of darkness. I want to switch it over and put those chains of iron and those fetters of brass on the kings and princes of the evil one.
Amen.
You set God's people free, don't you?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Isn't God wonderful?
Amen.
There's a dear black lady in Hammond, Indiana, wrote this song. God is so wonderful. God is so wonderful. I can't explain, but I can say, glory, hallelujah, praise His holy name. God is so wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful, so very wonderful, wonderful that He is mine. Oh, God is so wonderful. I can't explain.
Let's stand up and rest and sing His Name Is Higher, would you? Come on, His Name Is Higher.
His Name Is Higher than any other. His Name Is Jesus. His Name Is Lord. His Name
How many of you believe that Jesus' name is higher than any other? If you don't believe it, or if you're kind of uncertain about it, you stick around tonight. Because the name of Jesus lights the devil's tail feathers and puts his legions to flight. There's nothing like deliverance to show you the power of Jesus Christ. I want us to sing it again. I didn't hear the windows rattle a single time. Let's see if we can rattle the windows with our praise to Him, because His name is higher. He's what it's all about. Amen? Come on, here we go.
His name is higher than any other. His
seated. And Irma, I think, would be mad at me if I didn't sing her song tonight. Bonnie, do you remember... I can't think what it is. I cried I've gone too far? Okay. I'll do it for Irma, because I don't want to get her mad at me. Where's it start? I cry, I've gone too far. He said, my blood's gone farther. I cried, the stain's too deep. He said, my blood's gone deeper. I cried, I've done too much. He said, my blood's done more. Praise God, praise God for his cleansing blood. Now where would I be if it had not been for Jesus? Where would I be if it had not been for him? I was the toy of the maker of sin. I'm glad Christ changed all that might have been. Sing it with me. I cried, I've gone too far. He said, my blood's gone farther. I cried, the stain's too deep. He said, my blood's gone deeper. I cried, I've done too much. He said, my blood's on more. Praise God for his cleansing blood. Praise the Lord. Let's sing that one more time, just the chorus softly. And I want you to let that sink in, because I have a feeling there's somebody here tonight and you feel sort of like all those things the song said. I've gone too far. I've done too much. But he's gone. He's stretched beyond us, folks. He's already made provision for your freedom, for your joy, your blessing. And don't you let the devil tell you otherwise, because it's not so. One more time. I cried, I've gone too far. I cried, I've gone too far. He said, my blood's gone farther. I cried, the stain's too deep. He said, my blood's gone deeper. I cried, I've done too much. He said, my blood's done more. Praise God, praise God for his cleansing blood.
Praise the Lord. Brother Glenn asked me to do a mass deliverance tonight. How many of you have been in one of these? Let's see. Oh, this ought to be interesting. How many of you never heard tell us that? I better take my coat off. I'm wearing this red shirt because the demons don't like it, and I do. I was dealing with a demon last night, and I said, look down at this pretty carpet. And he looked down and said, eww. Everything that reminds them of the blood, they don't like. How many of you never heard tell of such a thing as a mass deliverance before? Some of you are not sure whether you did or not. I'm not trying to catch you in anything. Well, let me say that there's nothing mysterious or mystical about what's going to happen tonight. It's not going to be string pulling. It's not going to be gimmicks. I challenge anybody to get up and pull the strings and make happen what's going to happen here tonight. There's no way you can do it.
Right.
What you're going to witness is the power of the living Christ moving to free his people. Now, in a mass or a group deliverance service, what I do, I take people through what I would take an individual through who came to me and said, I need deliverance. My first question to them would be, why do you think you need deliverance? And then when they began to tell me about problems that I could recognize as being definitely demonic, where they're driven, harassed, and tormented, then there are certain steps which we call clearing the underbrush, which I would go through. And some of you were here the other afternoon, and we went through a little piece of this, but we're going to review it. If you went through it once, it won't hurt you again. It's not going to hurt you.
I've been through it many times. I can do it over and over. It
doesn't hurt because every once in a while you catch a new one that missed the net the last time it drug through. So it doesn't hurt a thing. What I might say to this, if this is new to you, I don't want you to get uptight and scared. And by the way, you say, well, I'm not getting involved in that. I don't know what that is, and I'm not going to do it. You know something? I could care less. I'm not anybody to do anything, but I do assure you tonight that nothing that's going to happen here is going to hurt anybody. If you're born again, you're a believer in Jesus Christ, then the deepest desire of your heart, whether you understand what we're doing here or what those crazy books of mine teach or any of this thing, whether you understand it, whether you're sure you agree with it or not, if you're a born-again believer, you ought not to want anything in you that's of the enemy. Is that true? I mean, whether you're charismatic, non-charismatic, deliverance or anti-deliverance, you certainly don't want anything from the enemy to be occupying your temple of the Holy Spirit, which is your body. Now, I would encourage you to take part in this. It's not going to hurt you. All I'm going to do, it's very, very simple. I go to great lengths to explain to people what I'm going to do so they don't think it's some kind of a mysterious little trap I'm leading them into. There's nothing hidden or mysterious about it. It's just plain, flat facts that when you do what God says, things happen. Now, if you don't have any demons, there's no danger. They won't be thrown out.
Amen.
A lot of people act like they're afraid you're going to slip up and throw something out. Well, you're not going to throw anything out that's not there. That's for sure. You say, well, I believe in that for the foreign field. I do, too. I believe in it for the home field as well. We'll never have a strong home base. We'll never have strong churches and strong families until the wicked spirit's inroads have been destroyed. The bread of the children is deliverance. Whether you understand that or believe it or not, it doesn't make a great deal of difference. The Syrophoenician woman came to Jesus and said, my daughter has a demon, and would you please cast it out of her? And Jesus said, why, that's the bread for the children. You couldn't have any of that. You're not one of the family. And I don't know how much plainer he can get. This is a family affair. Now, she had faith enough to jump the family line. And I think she got into the family, frankly, because she didn't let him drive her away. And she said, Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs off the table. He called her a dog, said it's not for dogs to eat the bread of the children. She said, Lord, I don't want the whole loaf. I just want a piece, just a crust. Just my daughter, that's. And he said, great is thy faith, it's done. She got some bread from the children's table. You could too, because if you're a child of God, you're entitled to sit down, put your feet under the table, and eat all you want. You say, I'm not eating any. Well, now, if you can live with your demons, fine, but, you know, they're liable to drive you to divorce and destruction and everything else, all kinds of trouble and misery. No, deliverance is not a panacea. Deliverance will not make you instantly holy or instantly righteous. No, deliverance will not solve all your spiritual problems. You'll still have to read the Bible. You'll still have to battle the old sin nature. You'll still have to pray. You'll still have to walk with the Lord.
you'll still have to fellowship with other believers, even though they don't know as much as you do. You'll still have to move on with God. But deliverance is a very important piece of God's plan for every believer. And if you leave it out, you are going to be sadly lacking, and you're going to be under bondage in areas of your life, and you're not going to be able to handle it. And many have become frustrated, defeated, and destroyed, and have just thrown up their hands in despair and have quit the battle because they said, it's just no use. I see what I need to do. I want to with all my heart. I have tried everything, but I just can't do it. I guess I'm just too weak. And they just sadly give up and sink. Now, I had good news from the enemy just before the service came. I did. I was sitting by a lady, and she leaned over and told me while I was getting dressed, a demon inside of me said, oh, Lord, she's going to that place again. I can hardly wait. They know. You may not believe in demons, but the demons believe and they tremble.
That's right.
And some of your stomachs are feeling a little queasy right now. That's all right. A lot of times people will read my book or they'll be in one of these services and they'll come and they'll say, I just feel terrible. I said, oh, that's great. And they say, what do you mean? Great, I feel awful. You don't realize I have this pain right in here. I said, oh, that's good. Well, we have stirred the thing up. Now you know it's there. Now the thing to do is get rid of it. Amen? Jesus taught us a model prayer, left a model prayer for us that had all the elements of true prayer in it. There's a significant line in it, forgive us our trespasses as or with the same measure that we forgive others. You remember that very familiar passage. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Now all your life long you have been hurt and disappointed by people that you loved and trusted. Sometimes it was their fault, sometimes it wasn't, but nevertheless you got hurt. Sometimes they couldn't help it. Sometimes they did it on purpose. It was vicious and mean. And you were deeply hurt and disappointed. But if you did not forgive them, you have built up in yourself resentment and bitterness and unforgiveness. And if it's gone on over a period of years, I can almost guarantee that you have spirits by those names in your life. You say, well, just tough about that. Well, let me tell you what that's going to provide the ground for. Your old nature is fertile ground for the demons. They grow in there. That's where they root. They don't get in the new nature. First John says that new nature is inviolate. It cannot be touched by the evil. But that old nature is still as rotten as it ever was, and it's still seething with discontent and unhappiness and misery, and it's just reaching out for any demon that comes by and said, wouldn't you come? This fool thinks he's going to walk with God. It hates God, never has loved God, never will love God, won't even go to heaven. Did you know that? Did you know this old nature is never going to heaven? That's what you have. That's why you need a new body. This old one couldn't take it anyhow. Can you imagine putting an engine out of a 747 in a T-model Ford? Why, when you crank that engine up, even if you brace that poor old thing up enough to hold it up without squeezing the wheels to the ground, when you crank it up, it'd tear that T-model all to pieces, wouldn't it? The T-model was not designed to carry the engine from a 747. Neither is your body and mine designed to take what's coming in heaven. It's going to be so glorious that we wouldn't be... I tell you, this body would shatter and go all to pieces anyhow. So God's already made provision. Jesus bought you a new body on the cross. You don't have to worry about it. It's bought and paid for. It's yours. And it's one of those treasures laid up in heaven, reserved for those who belong to Jesus. So you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to say, oh, Lord, please give me a new body. You're getting one. Mine and Pharisees is going to be thin as a razor blade. Amen. Now, but seriously, we have wonderful things are coming. But we are living not for pie in the sky by and by, but for the nasty now and now. This is where we're living.
Right. Amen.
And God has made provision, not only pie in the sky by and by, but For the nasty now and now, he has glorious truths that need to be appropriated and used for his glory by his children down here. And some of the most marvelous things that will happen to you are when you begin to grasp the truth of deliverance. Now, nobody can argue you into deliverance. The Holy Spirit's going to have to show you this. So don't try to argue your friends into deliverance. Somebody, I believe Irma said something earlier, don't go home and try to sell this to everybody and put it down their throats. Their demons are liable to leap on you if you do. Don't do that. Let the Holy Spirit show them. If you know about it, it's because the Spirit showed you. One lady came here from quite a distance, and she told me, she said, I didn't really believe this when I came, and when they started coming out of me, I nearly died. I thought this can't be happening, but it was happening. And now she's glad, very glad. Amen? But you must forgive those who have hurt and disappointed you. It's not optional, because in that seed bed that you have prepared with resentments, bitterness, and unforgiveness, where you said, well, I'll forgive you, but I'll never forget it. You know the kind I'm talking about? That old hussy, she ran off with my husband. Don't take pictures of me when I'm doing that. That old reprobate cheated me out of everything I had. You say, well, I forgave him. I said, Lord, I hope you forgive him because I never will. That's not praying for forgiveness. When you say, oh, Lord, forgive that old hussy. She's mean as a snake. Forgive that old man. He's crooked as a barrel of fish hooks. That's not forgiveness. You let God deal with them in the way he wants to. We're dealing with your relationship to those people who've hurt and disappointed you. Now, it's not optional because cancer and arthritis are two of the chief spirits that grow in that kind of ground, and you'll almost surely get them as you grow older if you don't get rid of these resentments, bitternesses, and unforgiveness. Now I've got everybody's attention. You say, well, preacher, just back up there. Old Aunt Sally was the sweetest old lady ever was, and she died of cancer. Don't you tell me she had an evil spirit. Well, you certainly don't think God put that on her, do you? Now, if you think God puts cancer on people, why don't you pray it'll get on everybody, including you? And if it's such a blessing to die with cancer, why don't you just pray that everybody will have it so everybody can glorify Jesus? Amen. Or on me, whichever. Isn't that silly? The devil's really sold us a bill of goods. He's gotten good, born-again people to accept a lot of garbage that God never intended them to carry. But if you'll do it, he'll load you up. Now, arthritis and cancer are two of the things. There are other things, but those are two of the nastiest things that root in that. And the reason they do is because the people who get this many times are sweet, gentle, and giving people. They give and they help people, and the people hurt them, are ungrateful, and because they're sweet and gentle, they don't talk about it. They boil inside and say, well, it doesn't matter. And here it is boiling around inside. And you'll pick up a cancer, arthritis spirit, sure as shooting. Isn't it wonderful that Jesus didn't want us to have that stuff? I know he didn't, because he taught his disciples to pray, forgive us our trespasses as we freely forgive those who have trespassed against us. He also wants us to lead us into an experience that will make us more like him than we've ever been. You say, but they don't deserve to be forgiven. Do you? Do I? When you came to Jesus, did you deserve to be forgiven? When you come to Jesus now, do you deserve to be forgiven? How are we forgiven? On the basis of wonderful grace. Right? Mercy. Grace and mercy, you know, are wonderful qualities that God wants us to have. Had you ever thought about that? How are you going to have those qualities? By exercising things like forgiveness, where you forgive somebody who doesn't deserve to be forgiven, and you freely forgive them without bitterness. Now, forgiveness costs an awful lot. That means you have to absorb the hurt and let them go free when they deserve to be clobbered for it. But we're not talking about deserving. We're talking about doing what Jesus said, and he said, forgive them. And besides that, if you move over and you're going to just hold it against them, and you're just going to just stay there and say, I'll get that old sister. I'm going to watch, and I'm going to be so glad when it catches up with her or him. Listen, the Bible says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. When you move over into the area of vengeance, you are over in God's territory. You're dealing in stolen merchandise, friend. You've stolen God's vengeance, and you're trying to do it. You say, well, God's kind of slow about it. I want to hurry it up. Well, he doesn't need any help. Abraham and Sarah tried to help him out, and we've been having trouble ever since because of that. They're still fighting over there every time the descendants of Ishmael and the descendants of Jacob meet. They fight every time they meet. Because poor old God was in a bind and he couldn't handle the situation. So Abraham and Sarah came up with a nifty little plan to bail God out. Don't you bail God out. Just do what he says. Believe his word, no matter how silly and impossible it may seem. Just believe it. You'll be saved. You say, well, it might make a fool out of him. By whose rules? The devil's always saying you make a fool out of yourself if you follow God. Paul said, I became a fool for Christ's sake. Just depends on whose fool you want to be. I had a friend, he's preaching. I don't know if he'd have anything to do with me now. We used to be pretty good friends. He's a dear man of God, mountain preacher. He used to be an alcoholic. And he used to do, he said when he got saved, he didn't stop drinking, he just switched jugs. And he wasn't kidding either, because when he's preaching, he'd get happy and run and holler and shout all over the place. And he'd say, don't worry about me, honey. I'm having a good time. I'm all right. And anyway, Billy would say, well, you know, when I was lost, I'd get drunk and I'd do all kinds of fool things. Said one time I was drinking with my buddies, and one of my buddies said, I bet you $5 you wouldn't take your britches off and walk down around the square of the little town where they live. He said, I'll take that, and he just stepped right out of his pants, folded them up, put them over his arm, and marched right around the square. And it was a busy day. There were lots of people around. And everybody just laughed and said, isn't that funny, that drunk fool? He said, after I got saved and I got talking about Jesus, I'd go to shouting and praising God, and they wouldn't put me in an insane asylum. Whose fool are you? You must forgive, friends. It's not optional. Now, mothers and daddies hurt children. Oh, no, Mama never hurt me. Now, don't lie. You've gotten old enough now that you understand some things you didn't understand before. And by the way, it doesn't make any difference whether the person's living or dead. If they're dead, you still have to forgive them. Because the hurt remains in you, though they've gone on. So the thing you need to do is face up to the fact that there are times when moms and dads hurt their kids. Husbands and wives are experts at hurting one another. Boyfriends and girlfriends hurt each other. Some of you fellas, your best buddy really fixed you up. Some of you gals, your best girlfriend messed you up. You told her something and said, don't you tell anybody. And she said, oh, I won't. And she didn't, except to her six best friends, and she told them not to tell anybody either. And you got in an awful jam, and it really messed you up. And you were hurt and disappointed because of it. You see, all down through life, we've run across these cases where people have really hurt us. And because it isn't very religious, we say, oh, I don't mind. And we get sad and miserable and everything else because we're carrying a load of misery inside of us that God never designed us to carry. Now, God will help you carry the load he gives you. But he doesn't give you one extra ounce of strength for the load you pick up that he didn't design you to carry. And the reason Christians break down and physically and emotionally and any other way
is because they're loaded with loads that Jesus did not design them to carry. You're carrying an overload, and God wants to help you unload some of that tonight. The first step is to forgive. You must forgive. You'll never be completely delivered. You'll never be completely healed until you forgive. Notice I said completely. You can get a measure. And some of you have been wanting to speak in tongues, and you probably won't get... You may jump across this fence, but it's a hard hurdle to make if you've got some real deep-seated bitterness. I'll guarantee you it doesn't help to have it in there.
Amen.
So the thing you need to do is forgive anyone who has hurt or disappointed you. Children hurt parents. And on you could go. And all I'm going to do is lead you through some simple prayers and show you how to forgive. And you can do it all at once. And I'm going to lead you to a certain point in the prayer, and I'm going to stop, and then I want you to put the first names in of the people who have hurt you. Now, you don't have to shout them out. It's nobody's business. That's between you and the Lord. You can just say them quietly, but I would like for you to verbalize them. If you don't, the devil will come in tomorrow or the next day and say, you just thought you did. You didn't really do it. That's why you need to verbalize. So you can say, just shut up. I heard myself say it. Okay? And don't pay attention to anybody else. It's none of your business who they're forgiving. That's not up to you. This is going to be a private session. This is what we call a private session. Because you're going to privately take care of these things. And strangely enough, a crowd is sometimes the most private place you can get to take care of something. All right, let's bow our heads. If you want to take part, and I would urge you to do it, it's not going to hurt you. And it can help you a great deal. And by the way, I'm not going to be watching to see whether you take part or not because, as I said, it doesn't to me. It's up to you. If you want to be free, you can. You can lead the horse to water, but if he says, I'm not going to drink, well, then that's fine with me. You're not going to make me mad. I'm watching for the people that are coming free. Praise the Lord. Father in heaven, I come to you now as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I confess to you that in the past I have harbored resentment, unforgiveness, sometimes bitterness against certain people who have hurt and disappointed me. I confess this as sin, Lord. And I do now forgive the following people who have hurt or disappointed me. Now you just quietly tell the Lord the ones that you forgive. The names of others will come to you for several days after this session. And you're to do the same thing when they come. Now, Lord Jesus, if there are other names of people that Satan has hidden from the people, against whom there is bitterness and unforgiveness in the people's hearts, and they have honestly forgotten and they don't remember, but it's grieving your Holy Spirit to them, I pray you'll bring the names to their minds right now, in Jesus' name. I do now forgive all these people, Lord. And I ask you to bless them if they're living today. In the name of Jesus Christ. By the way, the best blessing that can come to a lost person is to be drawn to the Lord in salvation. For a backslider, the best blessing is to be drawn back to the Lord. So you're not asking blessings on evil, but for the Lord to get them to himself. Now, there is another area that causes people to be bound, and it has to do with the occult. But first, I think we'll renounce some things about bondage and domination that we come into. So if you would just follow along after me. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ,
in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ,
I now renounce
Break and loose myself from all demonic subjection to my mother, father, grandparents, or any other human beings, living or dead, that have ever in the past or are now dominating me, are controlling me in any way which is contrary to the will of God. I thank you, Lord, for setting me free. I also repent and ask you to forgive me if I am or have dominated or controlled anyone in the wrong way. In the name of Jesus Christ, I now renounce, break, and loose myself and all my children from all psychic heredity, demonic holes, psychic powers, bondages, bonds of physical or mental illness, or curses upon me or my family line as a result of sins, transgressions, iniquities, occult or psychic involvements of myself, my parents, or any of my ancestors, of my spouse, any and all ex-spouses, or their parents, or any of their ancestors. I thank you, Lord, for setting me free. All my children, from any and all evil curses, charms, vexes, hexes, spells, jinxes, psychic powers, bewitchments, witchcraft or sorcery, which have been put upon me or my family line from any person or persons or from any occult source or any psychic source, and I command all connected and related spirits to leave me. Thank you, Jesus, for setting me free. And what we're doing is breaking legal bonds and bondages. You may not be aware of it, but the devil is a legal expert. And if the doors have ever been opened by you or someone in your family to be attacked by evil spirits, they will exercise this right until you withdraw it from them. You just withdrew the rights of a lot of these. Some of you single folks just broke curses on any kids you ever have. Isn't that great? I mean, if the devil can put them on there, you can take them off, can't you? On your unborn children. All right. Now, there is a very important area in which believers have been hornswoggled and fooled and made fools of, and that has to do with the occult. The occult revolution has swept the country, and it comes in under the heading, a lot of times, in the universities, of parapsychology. I'm somewhat familiar with this. I have 40 hours of psychology in my background. I don't know that it ever helped me, but nevertheless, I have it.
By the way, I assure you that this, what we're doing, has nothing to do with psychology. I say that with, as one who has studied considerably. This is strictly New Testament. I didn't learn this in the psychology classes. But perhaps you suspected that. All right. The occult is an extremely dangerous thing. Let me mention some of the common occult things, and by no means an exhaustive list, but only some that are very, very common. The Ouija board. By the way, let me say this. You do not have to sleep in bed with somebody who has smallpox to get the disease. All you have to do is touch the sheets. Are you getting the point? You don't have to become deeply involved in any of these things, but if you touch them, chances are you got them. All they need is an open door, and they seldom pass up any opportunity to hop on board, and they travel in bunches. So if you've got one, you've got a bunch, most likely. And, of course, if you were ever in the drug world, you are literally loaded with them. Because what defenses you have, the natural defenses in your mind and body, if you go into drugs or into alcoholism, it drops every protection you have, and any demon around is welcome to climb on board, and you don't have a thing to say about it. Because you have pressed down the fences, and the Bible said, he that breaketh a hedge, a serpent shall bite him. And boy, we've got a lot of snake bite cases around. Because the hedges have been broken down. The Ouija board. Sorcery, a witchcraft of any kind, witchcraft, white, gray, black, any difference, it's all the same rotten stuff. Automatic writing, handwriting analysis, fortune telling of any kind, crystal ball, tarot cards, playing cards, palmistry, tea leaves, you name it, any kind of fortune telling is witchcraft. I was dealing with a woman last night, and this witchcraft spirit was there, and I said, where did you come from? And he said, well, she went to several fortune tellers, and one of them was a witch, and I came from the witch. Now, most of the fortune tellers and readers are fakes, but you can land a real one, and you don't know whether you did or not. So I'd suggest you include this in your list, if you've ever been to one at all. Seances. If you've ever been to a seance, you got them. You ever been present at one of the parties where they played levitation? You know, that's where you lift people with your fingers. Huh? Wasn't that cute? And everybody that did it and everybody that was in that room came under demonic subjection. They opened themselves up to occult spirits. Now, occult spirits, by the way, are pretty serious because they carry a curse not only on you, but to the third and fourth generation after you from God, not from Satan, from God Almighty. Now, Satan might not be able to enforce his claims, but you haven't got a chance against God. Amen? You know what you have to do when you get in trouble with God? You run, throw yourself on the mercy of the court.
Amen.
That's the only thing you can do. And the reason God brought some of you here tonight is to show you what danger you're in. That means that you are under a curse. Your children will be under a curse. Your grandchildren will be under a curse. Your great-grandchildren will be under a curse. And the next one, too. Would you say that's pretty serious? You say, I never heard such stuff. I know. But it's in, and it's still valid. Because when you touch the occult, you have broken the first and the great commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me, because you've reached out into the devilish realm for knowledge, for supernatural knowledge or experience, and you got it. But the price you pay is a curse from God to the third and fourth generation. Check Exodus chapter 20 if you think I'm joking. But the good news, I wouldn't want to leave you with that depressing news. I want to tell you, I'm going to show you how to get it off of you. Off of your grandkids, your great-grandkids. God is in the business not only of exposing the evil, but showing you how to get out of it. Amen? That's what we're here for. All right. Hypnosis, for any reason, medical, whatever, it's all done by the same spirit. You say, oh, come on, preacher. Oh, come on. I used to be a hypnotist. Don't tell me. You see, I knew there's something weird about you. But I thought you looked a little strange, too, you know. No, seriously. Hypnosis is a devilish spirit. I quit it before I ever knew what was wrong with it because I didn't like what it was doing to me. And I was a good one, too. I could put people to sleep who didn't want to go to sleep. And I quit it because it was doing something to me. I didn't like what was happening on the inside to me. And Brother Glenn, there'll probably somebody go out of here saying, well, he's a hypnotist now. I found out what he's been doing. He's hypnotizing those poor folks. I couldn't hypnotize nothing now. Because before I got into this thing, I ran across Angels of Light by Hubert Freeman, and I found out exactly why I was so uneasy with that hypnosis and why I'd quit it. And then I renounced it and shut the door on it, and I hadn't been able to hypnotize anybody at all. I couldn't if I tried. I had it offered back to me. The demons offered to give it back to me with a lot of other things. They offered to make me a warlock extraordinary. I laughed in their face. I'd rather be Jesus' errand boy. I don't want anything they got in their box. No way. Astrology and horoscopes. Isn't it fun to read your horoscopes? And you come under demonic subjection by doing it. You say, I just read them and laugh about them. They're not in the laughing matter. I wouldn't read them anymore. I'd renounce it and forsake it. The devil doesn't need for you to... All you have to do is play with these toys and he'll get you. Some of the nice things that cult spirits do, they break up marriages, they lead to suicide, paranoia, schizophrenia, homosexuality. That's some of the nicer things they do. Are they serious? Yes. One contact with a fortune teller sometimes in a lifetime can send a person's life into a tailspin. End up in a mental institution if somebody doesn't get a hold of them and deliver them from that wicked spirit. That's how serious it is. Seances, charms, enchantments, curses, fetishes of alts, Edgar Casey, warlock. If you study the writings of Edgar Casey trying to get enlightened on spiritual things, you got it. You got his warlock spirits. Jean Dixon, she's a witch. As I told the people the other day, those of you who know anything about the Bible or anything about the Lord at all, if you were in bed one day and a big boa constrictor crawled in bed with you, wrapped around you and gazed into your eyes and said, look to the east for knowledge, would you think that was God? She did. That happened to her. Would you consult a crystal ball? And would you lay out cards to get your predictions and prophecies, so-called? She does. She's a witch, friend. She goes to church every day and she's a witch. By the way, witchcraft's being promoted in this country. There's a school for witches and warlocks in Missouri. Sybil Leek has established it. They take young people who have just graduated from the teacher colleges all over, and universities all over the country who are Satan worshipers, and they give them a 6 weeks intensive course in how to introduce witchcraft into your class without seeming to do it. You think the devil's not busy? Some of those teachers may be teaching your kids. We better get to praying, folks. We better pray for the power of God to fall. There's nothing else going to stop this mess. There's nothing else even going to slow it down. This is supernatural power, and the only thing that will stop it is the supernatural power of Jesus. Boy, he's well able. I mean, would you think that a bulldozer could push a roller skate? And that's about what you got when Jesus comes up against Satan. But God's folks got to learn how to crank up and get into the battle. We've got to get clean ourselves. Be ye clean, ye that bear the vessels of the Lord. God's looking for folks that want to be clean, want to be free from all the devilish inventions and infiltrations of the enemy. All right. Eastern religions of any kind, Hinduism, Buddhism, Zen Buddhism, the whole rotten mess, all comes out of the devil. Transcendental meditation, sweeping the country, putting every person that it gets under mind control, which is one of the most difficult spirits to deal with I've ever seen. Drives to insanity and a lot of other things. Yoga,
Don't even do the exercises. They open you up to the enemy. And they're teaching this in some of the natural childbirth classes. Nothing wrong with those childbirth classes, but stay away from that yoga stuff. And whatever you do, don't sit in a lotus position. That's where you wrap your legs up. I couldn't do it myself, but some of you lanky ones could. But don't do it, whatever you do. Because you're making yourself into a triangle. This pyramid power, is there anything to it? There sure is. It's occult, it's dangerous, and it's devilish. If you play with it, you'll get them. Just sure as a dog get fleas, you'll get those things. If you fool around with it. Lady used to teach mind control. Been born again, saved, and delivered, thank God. She told me, she said, when I was a psychic, when I was in the psychic world, she was an expert astral projectionist, too. She could project anywhere in the world she wanted to go. She said, when I was in that stuff, teaching it, she said, if I got tired, I didn't bother to sleep. That wasn't necessary. All I had to do was get a thumbtack, stick it up in the top of the door facing up overhead, take a string, run it down on each side and tack it down at the bottom, and sit in the lotus position right under that pyramid, that triangle, and waves of psychic energy would sweep through me, and I went on this kind of energy for years and years, and said all the psychics do it when they get a little far enough along. That's why they're always full of energy. But it's devilish energy, friend. You said, I believe I'll try that. I wouldn't do it if I were you. A black belt karate man who came to be delivered, and I've had several of them delivered in the services. And karate is all occult, total occult. That's what it is, demonic force. Why do you think they go, before they hit? That demon has to holler, or else it's totally done by demon power. There isn't any other explanation for why they do the impossible things they do. And karate, I've had black belt. One black belt fellow came to me. I was talking about this in California, and this fellow came up for deliverance. He got delivered, thank God, from karate. He came up and he said, preacher, said you was really telling the truth about that. Said when I used to sit and meditate in the karate classes, we'd sit in that lotus position. He said supernatural power would charge up through my sex organs all the way up through me, and said I would get so sexually aroused I would just want to go out and rape somebody. Don't play with this stuff, friend. It's dangerous. And the occult always leads into sex and sex perversion, by the way. The trails all run together. Astral projection, reincarnation is always involved in the occult. Psychic heredity can bring it on you. Rock music is occult. The beat is occult. They use the same beat to stir up the voodoo. And Satan worshipers here in this country, working themselves into a lather to offer a living baby as a sacrifice to cut its throat and shed its blood. They do that. Did you know that? They're doing it now. They offer living girls as sacrifices, carve them up on satanic altars. It's being done. They drink their blood. I'm not talking about over in Borneo and the deepest dark heart of Africa. I'm talking about in the dark heart of America and in Arkansas. By the way, this state's ruled by the prince of the occult. That means he's got more followers in this state than any other prince, and therefore he's considered the ruler over this place. Isn't that strange that God would establish a deliverance camp right in the middle of the occult kingdom, huh? But you know, it's funny. Everywhere I've gone in meetings, when I get there and start to work, they tell me later, they say, you know, this is a center for witchcraft. This is a center for spiritualist church. Has a big camp here. I said, well, how strange. They say, yeah, I went over in Tennessee, and they said, well, nobody ever comes here. The preacher said, they don't come over here. It's too oppressive. And I said, really? I hadn't noticed it. I thought it was a lot of fun because I found lots of demons to fight over here. I thought it was just great. Oh, listen, it doesn't make any difference who's ruling what. Jesus is over all. He is the King of Kings. They're not any higher than him. His name is higher. And water witching, water divination, all that is magic, friends. And the reason it works is because it's demonic. If you've got a well at home, you don't know whether it was witched or not, I'd go home and pray over it before I drank any more water. You say, oh, I don't like fanaticism. I don't either. I don't like witchcraft even more than I don't like fanaticism. not going to hurt you to pray over that well. It might hurt you not to. I can't say for sure. All right. Now we've covered some of the more common ones. Have you recognized yourself somewhere? All right. Now the good news is, the bad news is that you're under a curse. Right now, you're not going to be. You're right now sitting under one. You were from the day you touched that thing, even though you didn't know it, maybe till tonight. You say, well, I just don't believe you. Well, that doesn't change anything. You know, I can say to Glenn, I've heard a lot about this law of gravity. But I want you to understand that I don't believe in that. I absolutely refuse to believe such tommy rot and fanaticism. And I refuse to be bound by that. So I'm going to climb up on a ladder on top of that extension out there. And I'm just going to step right off and show that law of gravity, so-called, that I don't believe in it. Well, they'd probably have to replace a piece of asphalt out there in the front after I found out that even though I didn't believe in the law of gravity, I was subject to it. Huh? Let me tell you something. You're subject to the spiritual laws of the universe, whether you believe it, whether you accept it, or whether you like it. That hasn't got anything to do with it. People talk, you know, like, well, I don't believe that. Now you've gone and upset God. Isn't that pitiful? Poor old God will have to go revise everything because you don't like the way he set it up. Isn't that ridiculous? As a matter of fact, we're subject to these spiritual laws, and they're in God's Word for our blessing, for our help. Just like Jesus taught them to pray. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive, because he didn't want us to come under the bondage and horror that would come upon us if we refused or if we ignorantly overlooked it. God reveals it. So in his Word, he shows every one of these things to be worthy of death, and therefore they must come under death as far as we're concerned, and we must renounce them. Now, there's two steps. First of all, you say, but I don't do those things anymore. Well, but that doesn't change anything. You say, but I did those before I was saved. Doesn't make any difference. The infection remains. Somebody goes out here, gets into sin, gets some terrible social disease, then they come down, repent, get saved. Does that cure them? No, sir. The results remain. They have to be dealt with. And the results of contact with sinful things that God says are sinful, not that men think are, but what God says is, remains and must be dealt with. Thank God that there are two steps. Most people have taken the first step. Some haven't because they thought because they stopped it or because they didn't do it but once, that it wasn't serious. I'm telling you, it's serious. One contact is serious. And it may have opened you to it, and it's not worth taking a chance on it. It's better to confess it. The first step, confess of sin. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us. The first step is to confess the contact as sin. And that's what we're going to do right now for those who want to go through it. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Father in heaven, I come before you now, confessing that in the past, ignorance, through curiosity, or through willful stubbornness, I have come in contact with all things. I realize now that these contacts were sinful in your sight. And I do now renounce and forsake them and confess these contacts as sin. In particular, I confess to you that I have come in contact with the following occult things. All right, now you mention quietly to the Lord all the occult contacts you can remember. Any that I mentioned and any others that you may wonder about.
If you suspect it, confess it. It's not going to hurt anything. It could hurt a great deal if you don't. Give a foothold for the devil. I do now confess these contacts as sin. And renounce them. And any other contacts that I do not know about. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, now then we're going to take the second step, which most people have not done. You open the door to Satan. Now it must be closed. He's a legal expert. He will say, if you stop at this point, Satan will say, okay, you squared accounts with God. That's wonderful. But you open the door, and you haven't closed it yet. Therefore, I still have access to come and go. And that's where some of you are having your problems. You can't locate where that thing is. It's constantly giving you problems. You've got a door open. Now we're going to close them. I'll show you how. All right, when we approach Satan, we do it clothed in the power and authority of Jesus' name. And I always like this part because the believers really get hostile along about this time, thinking about the devil and what a hornswoggler he is and putting all this stuff on him. Satan, I rebuke you in Jesus' name.
Satan, I rebuke you in Jesus' name.
And I'm closing any door that I may have opened to you. Through contact with the following occult things. All right, now mention again the things you mentioned to the Lord, and if you happen to think of another one, just put it in there. I renounce every one of these things that I know about and those that I do not know about. I want nothing to do with you or your host. And I claim my complete deliverance
in the name of
Jesus
Christ.
Now we're going to draw the net. And by that I mean I'm going to throw the net out and see what we got. Now when a fire truck or an ambulance goes through town, you take all the traffic off the streets. Because you don't want that to be hindered in any way. You want it to have free course. A demon is a spirit. A spirit is a breath. And most of these demons, practically the whole shooting match, will come out through the breathing passages in some manner. Therefore, we're going to take all the traffic off the street. And there's going to come a place in here. We're going to repeat another affirmation of faith. And there's going to come a place, though, that I'm going to ask you to stop praying with your mouth and move your praying upstairs. Now, you're not going to become passive like you do in the occult. You're going to actively cooperate with the Lord. But the only difference is you're going to move your praying upstairs mentally and not pray with your mouth, either in tongues or with the understanding for a time. The reason for that is so that you won't slam the gate in their face by praying when they're trying to come up. Because they're going to come up. They definitely will. Some of you don't think they will, but you just stick around. They're going to start moving. Because Jesus' name is more powerful than anything else. Now, what I'm going to do, I'll tell you exactly what I'm going to do. There's no mysterious thing about it. I'm simply going to call out groups of very common demons that are very common to most groups of people you work with. I'm going to take authority over them, and then I'm going to come to a place, and I'm going to demand in Jesus' name that they come out. And when I do that, I want you just to breathe through your mouth. And from time to time, I'll ask you to breathe out very slowly, but very deeply, expel very deeply, three or four times. Now, please don't do it more than three or four times at a time. If you do, you'll hyperventilate and get dizzy and think you're going into deliverance, and all you're doing is getting dizzy. All right? We're not looking for any kind of special signs. We just want the things to come out. Now, I almost hesitate to tell you what's going to happen if you've never been in a deliverance service. But I must tell you this so that you'll know, and somebody's going to go away and say, well, he programmed the audience. He told them what to do, and they did it. But I'm going to tell you anyway so that you'll understand what's happening when it comes, especially if you haven't been through one of these. Demons come out sometimes just with a breath, just that's it. Others come out by yawning. Some
cause belches, some burp, some cough. About the third or fourth breath some of you take, something hot and sticky is going to stick right up your throat, and you're going to think you're choking. And all of it is coming out, that's all. And there'll be something besides air coming up. You just let it go. Now, if you're getting difficulty, well, just raise your hand, and I got some paper towels around here, and just let them go, all right? And just you just concentrate on being willing for those things to go. That's all you have to do. We're going to make a confession of faith, then we'll move right in and draw the net. Repeat after me, please, through the blood of Jesus. I am redeemed out of the hand of the devil.
I am redeemed out of the hand of the devil.
Through the blood of Jesus.
Through the blood of Jesus.
All my sins are forgiven.
All my sins are forgiven.
The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son.
The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son.
Is cleansing me now from all sin.
Is cleansing me now from all sin.
Through the blood of Jesus.
Through the blood of Jesus.
I am justified.
I am justified.
Made righteous. Just as if I had never sinned.
Just as if I had never sinned.
Through the blood of Jesus.
Through the blood of Jesus.
I am sanctified.
I am sanctified.
Made holy.
Made holy.
Set apart for God.
Set apart for God.
My body is a temple for the Holy Spirit.
My body is a temple for the Holy Spirit.
Redeemed.
Redeemed.
Cleansed.
Cleansed.
Sanctified.
Sanctified.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
The devil has no more place in me.
The devil has no more place in me.
No more power over me.
No more power over me.
I renounce him totally.
I renounce him totally.
I lift myself from him now.
I lift myself from him now.
And command him to leave me now.
I command him to leave me now.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, I come against you in the mighty power of the blood of Jesus Christ and his resurrection power. I bind you, demons, in the people to know that I am seated in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus, high above Satan, high above principalities, dominions, and powers, and I take authority over you now. And you must obey the word of the Lord and the blood and the power of Jesus Christ. I come against the spirits and the people now, spirits of laziness, self-hate, impatience, pride, ambition, irritation, loneliness, despair, hopelessness, suicide, death, confusion, rejection, depression, misery, torment, hopelessness, torture, doubt, evil heart of unbelief, greediness, guilt, shame, and condemnation. Come out of the people now in the mighty name of Jesus. Now breathe them out, folks. Good, slow, deep breath. Move out in Jesus' name. Move in the name of Jesus. Come out of the people in the name of Jesus Christ, God's Son. Move. Just move out. Move out in Jesus' name. Go. Go. In the mighty name of Jesus, go to the dry places now. In the mighty name of Jesus, move, move, move. Move out in Jesus' name. The spirits I have named and all their families, move out in Jesus' name. The Lord Jesus Christ defeats you. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. Move. 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 I come against every spirit of the occult, spirits of the Ouija board, spirits of sorcery, automatic writing, handwriting analysis, fortune telling, astrology, horoscopes, witchcraft of all kinds, hypnosis, ESP, levitation, clairvoyance, mediums, seances, charms, enchantments, curses, fetishes, Edgar Cayce, Gene Dixon, Eastern religion, transcendental meditation, yoga, karate, I Ching, Hare Krishna, Zen, astral projection, reincarnation, the asteroid spirits, psychic heredity, rock music, mind control, water witching, and Jezebel. Move out in Jesus' name. Move. Breathe them out, people. In Jesus' name, move. Move. Move out. Loose the people and let them go. Loose the people in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Move in Jesus' name. Move by the blood of Jesus. Move out. Move out in Jesus' name. You are defeated by the blood of Jesus. Move. Move out in Jesus' name. All of you. I come against every spirit of fear. Spirit of fear of giving and receiving love. Spirit of the fear of death. Fear of pain. Fear of falling. Fear of crowds. Fear of the dark. Fear of dogs. Fear of cats. Fear of crowds. Fear of the devil. Fear of loss of salvation. Nightmares. Move out of the people now in Jesus' name. Every spirit of fear. Move, move, move in Jesus' name. Breathe them out, people. Fears, all kinds of fears. Move out in the mighty name of Jesus. Go. By the blood of Jesus, you are defeated. Move out. Move out in the name of Jesus Christ, God's Son. In the name of Jesus Christ, God's Son, you will lead. Loose the people in the mighty name of Jesus. I come against every spirit of wrath, anger, temper, fighting, murder, destruction, malice, envy, resentment, bitterness, jealousy, envy, pride, hysteria, fits, convulsions, spirit of a broken heart, spirit, unforgiveness, schizophrenia, and paranoia. Come out of the people now in Jesus' name. Breathe them out, people. Come on, move, move, move. Move out in Jesus' name. Go. By the blood of Jesus, you are defeated. Move out in Jesus' name. Move out in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Go. Loose the people and let them go. Loose them and let them go. You cannot hold the people in bondage. Move. Move out in Jesus' name. You are defeated. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Move by the blood of Jesus Christ. Move. Spirits of profanity, filthy conversation, lying, gossip, slander, whining, complaining, self-pity, criticism, spirits of blasphemy, mockery, foolishness, ridicule, and perversity. Come out of the people now in Jesus' name. Breathe them out, people. Just take slow, deep breaths. Move. Move out in Jesus' name. Move. Loose the people and let them go. Loose them and let them go now in Jesus' name. I come against spirits of addiction, gluttony, nicotine, craving, alcohol, drugs, marijuana, acid, speed, THC, diet pills, uppers, downers, heroin, cocaine, and diet pills. Come out of there now in Jesus' name. All the spirits of the tranquilizers and the barbiturates, move. Move out in Jesus' name. Valium, move out in Jesus' name. Breathe them out, people. Just breathe them out. They have to go. They are defeated by the blood of Jesus. Move. Move. Move out. In the name of Jesus, move, move. I come against every spirit of lust, spirits of burning passions, masturbation, guilt, condemnation, shame, adultery, fornication, immorality, perversion, incest, uncleanness, filth, sadism, masochism, frigidity, impotence, rape, filthy conversation, filthy dreams, pornography, profanity, homosexuality, cruelty, incubi, succubi, lasciviousness, lewdness, nudity, oral sex, and sodomy. Move out of the people now in Jesus' name. Move, move by the blood of Jesus. Breathe them out, people. Move in Jesus' name. Move by the blood of Jesus. Move, move. You are defeated in Jesus' name. Move out. Every one of you, loose the people and let them go. Move out in Jesus' name. I come against every spirit of deformity, pains, arthritis, allergies of all kinds, hay fever and all allergies. In the name of Jesus, come out of the sinuses, the bronchial tubes and the lungs, infections, cancer, tumors, cysts, ulcer, hemorrhoids, muscle spasms, drowning, asphyxiation, choking, smothering, fainting, suffering, swelling, cramps, fits, convulsions, epilepsy, heart failure, heart disease, and heart attack, psoriasis, eczema, acne, warts, hernia, paralysis, blindness, all kinds of eye diseases, all kinds of ear diseases and ear infections, kidney infections. Move out in Jesus' name. Move. Breathe them out, people. Just breathe them out in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Loose the people and let them go. Loose them and let them go. Loose them and let them go in Jesus' name. Loose them and let them go. Loose them and let them go. Loose them and let them go in Jesus' name. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, God's Son, move. Move on out now in Jesus' name. Now I challenge anybody to get up here and read off a list like I have done and produce the upheaval that has come here. It's the name and the blood of Jesus The spirits are already crying out. And if you have a headache, if you have an uneasy feeling, if you have pains anywhere in your body, please do not leave this place without prayer. If you do, you may not sleep tonight. By all means, seek help before you leave. I'm serious. When the demons stir but do not come out, it can be very uncomfortable for you because they're angry, they're disturbed. It's like hitting a wasp's nest and not getting all the wasps. Thank you. Move out in Jesus' name. If you need help, either make your way down the front, or if you can't walk, raise your hand and let somebody come to you to help you and pray for you now. Some of you are saying, well, I never saw anything like this in my life. Well, I'm hoping you'll see it all across the nation as God cleans His church. This needs to happen everywhere. Praise God. Say this for those of you who are not familiar with deliverance. The outcries that are going on is not the person, that's the demon. For a change, the demon is in misery and not the person. Thank God.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.